Tone Master General, the debate is raging about the Cavs right now. My mentions, even though you and I just got almost a knockdown drag out about the Cleveland Browns a moment ago. What was the question you asked right before I had to send it to break? I hate having to do that because it feels like I'm sidestepping you. I'm not.
Yeah, I didn't look at the time.
I just don't want to get bogged down into who wins and who loses.
No, I was asking.
It's my bad.
We're talking about stability. We're talking about dysfunction. We're talking about what the feeling is. Because Albert Breer kind of came on yesterday on the afternoon show and was like, the Browns front office setup is still fine. It's professional. Basically, there's not the dysfunction. That doesn't mean guys are going to keep their jobs. Like, obviously, in the end, Jimmy Haslam's going to do what he's going to do. But I was asking you, wouldn't any team, remember there were double-digit at least teams that were in on Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Wouldn't every single team be in the exact same spot?
Yeah.
Right now if they had Deshaun?
Yes. If they now, we do hear that there were several teams not willing to offer what the Browns offered. That's why the Browns were back in when they were first
I want to read this tweet. It's a very, very legitimate point and something that's it's hard to argue. Like, total Browns move. On X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says the other teams wouldn't be in the situation. Why'd he come to Cleveland, Tone? He wasn't coming here because of the guaranteed money. So that's what you're saying, Ken, about the guaranteed money. Mm. Boy, I would love to find out down the road how that auction, or whatever you want to call it, how that took place. You had all these teams that were in on Deshaun Watson. So all these teams were willing, even with the baggage. And not knowing what the suspension would be. Remember, we didn't know what the suspension would be at that time. Whether it was going to be a year, whether it was going to be no games at all. We heard everything. We did that every day. We did Matlock every single day.
Fatlock.
We did it every single day about that. What was it like when the Browns were told, no, you're out? Were they told, you're out, that's the end of the conversation? Or were they told, unless you can hit this number? And then was it, can you guarantee that number? Was any other team going to be willing to guarantee any number out there? Like, I would love to know how that went.
The only way we would know is if he were a good quarterback. That's the only way.
Because that's a good point.
If he were good, you think about the teams of 13 teams that were in, including the Browns. Some of them do not have good. I would imagine a lot of them don't have good quarterback situations right now. But they're not going to sit there and go, hey, we were willing to offer this to Deshaun Watson. Like, you're not making my situation any better. But if you took quarterback X out of the draft instead, and quarterback X sucked, and Deshaun Watson was throwing for 5,200 yards and leading the Browns to deep playoff runs, you'd go, hey, we did try to get him. We offered this, that, and the other to bring in Deshaun Watson. Because now it would be leaked because they're in job savior mode. Now, you are right. But you can be, you're right about the quote-unquote dysfunction. It's not dysfunctional in terms of there's not backstabbing, there's no leaks, there's no weird, which I don't even believe those emails, the blacked out emails of talking to NFL insiders of things like that who say this is how bad it is and things like it was a few years ago. I don't think it's like that. But you can be professional and you could treat each other with respect. And you could be putting this thing in a terrible situation. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about stability. Because I'll bring it back to this. I got to use your own words against you. You and I, on phone conversations, when we do our phone calls, I will not forget the frustration. I'm driving over the 480 bridge. What a place to be driving over when I'm thinking this. I'm driving over the 480 bridge on the way home. It's 2022. And you cannot believe what you are hearing from people because they're not playing well. We're waiting for Deshaun Watson to come back from this suspension. And you're hearing, hey, the processes, they're fine with the processes. They're happy with the processes. They're just not winning games. And we're thinking, how could you just be not results-based in a results-based business? You were frustrated with that.
They will be. Kenny, I mean, this is what this is where I disagree with Breer. Like, I absolutely could see them getting rid of everybody.
Okay, so we agree with each other.
Yeah, me and you, what we are arguing about is I'm trying to separate, like, this is what analytics people will tell you. Like, hey, you know, you can have all the best systems in place. They still might not work. Like, you could have the best scouting, too, in the world. You're going to miss on some guys. And when you miss on the quarterback like this, you know, that puts you in such a hole to begin with. And now this year, like, they made up for it last year. That's why last year was a fairy tale run. What happened in December? That's not supposed to happen. All the guys that weren't there at the beginning of the year that latched on, your kicker, your running back, your quarterback, and it was amazing. And then Stefanski was a work of art. Everything was working until you lose in the playoff game, and then your reality sets in, and you come back this year, again, with huge aspirations, and then all of a sudden your offensive line stinks, your defensive line's not as advertised, your dominant defense, your historically good defense last year, all of a sudden it looks like everybody's got the book on it.
And then dancing.
And there is a lot of dancing. I will give them
too
that.
Too much dancing.
There has been dancing.
They need to make the mayor of Footloose the person who's the dog pound captain tomorrow.
You imagine?
Listen, I've had a lot of bad ideas. You know damn well that's a good idea. Don't even lie to me, Owen.
It's the first good one you've had in a week.
You're damn right. Anyway.
But compare this to the Jets. The Jets fired their GM yesterday. Guys, there was dysfunction. And he drafted good players. He drafted his drafts compared to Andrew Berry's. Now, he had first-round picks, which helped. But his picks, like the some of the talented guys they have, Breer was also mentioning all those good, talented players, but the dysfunction that also surrounded their
Diana
quarterback.
Diana Russini reported last night, this is last night during the Cavs game, and we will get back to the Cavs, I promise you guys that. Diana Russini reported that Woody Johnson wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, took your team back good. I'm going, no, wait a minute. I don't want to make decisions based on, this is where the analytics do come in. Because guys, if they do decide to tear down, I can't get rid of 53 players. They're not all bad. You cannot tell me they're all, I know you're mad at them, and I'm mad at them too. Hell, I was mad at them on Monday, and Ben got a hold of it, or whoever got a hold of it over there, and away it went. I'm mad. I'm not cutting 53 guys. I can't cut 53 guys. I don't think 53 guys on the Browns are bad. I think they're not very good in some key positions. I think their coaching is questionable. I think the hires that they made, I mean, Bubba Ventrone, I'm sorry, this has been listless so far this year. There's several things that aren't good, but I would think that those things, like, hey, wait a minute, let's make a decent decision here before we get mad and send people out the door and then aren't able to get people back again. I don't want to do that either, but I know that eventually someone's going to have to pay the piper for this. And if you're 2-8, it does become a little emotional, and it does become, hey, it is a business. What can I sell to my fan base? I mean, you said it yourself. I brought it up yesterday. Jameis Winston. Maybe Jameis Winston would be a pretty good bridge. Say you got the number one overall pick. If you're going to take Travis Hunter, maybe Jameis Winston becomes a good bridge quarterback for you. Can you go back into a room and have a Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson, DTR quarterback room? Not a lot of people are going to be enthused about that. But if you had Travis Hunter, maybe you can sprinkle some dust on it and be happy about it. Or do you go after the quarterback and make that distraction compared to what you still have, which is the albatross of the Deshaun Watson contract back? And I'm telling you right now, if you just run it back with these guys, then it feels, wow, we went from a team that fired everybody way too quickly, seeing everybody, to now we are so afraid of being dysfunctional, we can't see the forest for the trees. Because I can't find anybody. And guys, let me be brutally honest about this. I like Andrew personally, and I don't trust him to make the decisions for the future right now. I don't. And I can't find anybody who does. It's a terrible thing to admit. I want to trust him. I like him. I think he's a good guy. There's plenty of guys in Cleveland sports I like. He's one of them. I don't trust him. And I can't find anybody on the phones or anybody in the streets that does. And I don't think that we're thinking angry on November 20th. I'm trying to be as logical as possible because I want things to work out. I don't want to fire anybody based because I'm mad because they lost. I don't want to do that. But if I don't trust you to make the picks because of name your choice of what's happened in the past, it's not good. 216-474-0092. Tony in Mansfield, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Tony.
Hey yeah. Well, I was going to rip Tone there for a minute, but yeah, he kind of redeemed himself with the Browns, man. Just like dysfunction. what I mean by that is, yeah, you know, if you look at every scenario, like, yes, they're in place, so the cogs are there, but that doesn't mean it works. And Tone, I think you put that perfectly, right? It's like, you know, we got worse, right? Well, we can talk about Andrew Berry with the draft picks. Nothing has worked out. Yes, he hasn't had high draft picks, but if you look at our coaching staff, we made changes to try to get better, but we got worse. We tried the investment with Deshaun Watson, like other teams did, to try to get better. So I give them credit for that. The Haslams spend money, which is good, right? But if you look at the cogs now, look at our secondary on defense. Not very good, not reliable. Look at our linebackers. One guy, you guys talked about it yesterday. Defensive line, one guy maybe, and Myles Garrett. Our talent is way, way overlooked, or it's underachieved, very overrated. We don't have a single cog in place on this in this franchise that is worthwhile. And the way that you put it, Tone, with in 2022 and then onward and what happened is spot on. And where our team is now is it's like we talk a lot about drafting a quarterback. You know, we're going to bridge. It's like our offensive line is done. Unfortunately, Dwan Jones got hurt again. He was the only little bit of a gleaming light, but then we don't have a coaching staff possibly that can even develop these guys. Same thing with our running backs. Well, we're counting on Nick Chubb, you know, past 30. Quarterback situation, nothing. Wide receivers, and I'm sorry, like, I like Tillman, but we're giving, and you're talking about Jerry Jeudy, who was a failure at another team, and we were told when we signed him that he was going to be a waste, and we're giving false hope and false credit to players.
See, that's like they got enough prop, Tony, because I think you're doing what I mentioned before, and I got to let you go, and I thank you very much for the call. I don't want to start assigning blame to people I don't believe need blame assigned to. Now, I know, Tony, you're not totally out of the woods when I say this, because I know I'm sure we'll have our day. I think Jerry Jeudy is not one of my concerns right now. I think that now that he has Jameis Winston throw it to him, and I'm not just seeing the touchdown that he had against New Orleans, I don't want to start assigning blame to some of the things that have gone okay. Jerry Jeudy, I think he's going pretty well so far. Maybe you disagree. Said Tillman, starting to come out of it. He's no longer a water heater. You just roll out there. He's making plays. He's looking confident. Had a great block yesterday or on Sunday to free up Jerry Jeudy. I don't want to start doing that. Like, I don't want to just turn everything into bad, because I do have to evaluate this as it moves forward. Because if you do move on from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and right now I think that the signs do point to yes, I got to find somebody better. It's the same thing we talked about with Bill Callahan. Yeah, Bill Callahan was going to move on. It's who you hire that makes the difference to replace that person. I can't get worse just because I'm mad, quote unquote, at Barry Stefanski, et cetera, et cetera. And last night you decided, hey, they're making a real big deal about this Celtics game. I'm going to watch this Celtics game, because you watched the Celtics series last year. And Darius Garland did not play well in the Celtics series last year, or for the postseason altogether, to be honest with you. And last night he was 3 for 21. And I got some more of the same. Darius Garland needs to go. We need to trade him. This guy sucks.
And it wasn't
this
for me.
This guy's a loser.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. You've been hard on Darius Garland. This guy is every name in the book that you could find. And I'm going, guys, you just didn't watch the first 15 games. Now, I know I'm paid to do it, but I watched the first 15 games, and I'm sitting there beside myself going, how on earth can sensible individuals have these takes? Now, I know we all compare ourselves and say we're great sports fans. Okay, all right, you know, I'm not saying Bob Jackson in Independence, Ohio, he ain't watching the Cavs. I don't even know if there is a Bob Jackson in Independence. But I'm saying is that a lot of people, I'm sorry, actually I'm not. I'm just going to be disrespectful and say it. I don't think you were watching the first 15 games of the season. I think you dropped in on the Cavs last night. They lost the game last night, and you're so used to ripping on Darius Garland, and he gave you a reason to rip on him yesterday. He did.
He had his worst game of the year,
but
one of the worst of his career.
It became trade Darius all over again, and I went, well, we're not watching the games. So
in Yahoo yesterday, it was Dan Devine. I want to give him credit for his piece about Darius being the most underrated superstar in the league. That was the title, of course, comes out yesterday. And then anybody who read that and said, okay, I got my popcorn out, let's see this Darius for the first time.
So Dan's upset just like I am.
Right. I can only imagine. So Darius this year, I called him a top 5 point guard. This is me.
Yeah, he did.
This is me.
And you said last year he wasn't even a top 15 point guard.
Oh,
and by the way,
he might not have been top 20 last year.
He wasn't. He wasn't last year.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
But a lot of it certainly had his reasons. The injury, the season from hell, that's exactly what it is. The death in the family, all that stuff. This year, Career numbers all across the board. 55% from mid-range, 45.5% from three-point land, 93% at the free throw line. Kenny, 71% on that patented floater that he had been just basically every time it was as money could get. 66% of his shots within 4 feet of the basket. He has been a freak this year. He's been an all-NBA player. He's an all-star. Like, he had been that good. So you're right. Had you not really been paying attention to all of that and then just saw last night, yeah, you think he sucks.
Like, it's not an excuse for bad play. 3-for-21 is horrendous. But I think anybody who was watching the first 15 games of the season last night was going, man, that's a bad night at the office for Darius Garland. But you know what? This is the way it goes. And hopefully we'll pick it up coming up tomorrow night because they play tonight against New Orleans. Hopefully he'll pick it up in the future and we'll keep going from here. If you did not watch the first 15 games or you had bits and pieces of the first 15 games and didn't even bother to look at a box score, yeah, you were probably saying that he needs to be traded. You were probably saying that he needs to be traded. Unless you think I'm wrong, 216-474-0092, then fine, go ahead and let me have it because I think I'm right. And I say this knowing wholeheartedly that we're going to go to the postseason this year. We'll probably have the number 2 overall seed, maybe even the number 1 overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And he may make me look like an idiot later on this postseason. But I'm going to, you got to say it while you can. And I'm going to say it. And I'm going to hope that Darius backs me up on it. He's been sensational to start this year. It's been a month of this season. Any of the talk about trading him or any of the talk about him being untouchable last year, you know, that went back and forth. I think any of the talk about him being traded, and I had to be a part of it because it got so bad, I think that's all left in the past. I think he's been great this year. Last night was an abomination to his own game. But everything else has been great. I have to hope he does it this postseason because there's going to be a lot of people saying that I ripped him and I shouldn't have ripped him and that I'm going to take it if he doesn't go out there and doesn't perform in the postseason.
Well, I think last night was obviously the hardest it's been for Darius and really Donovan Mitchell too. And Donovan kind of turned it on, but the two of them had such a terrible first half. And a lot of that is the Boston Celtics, they kind of have the perfect team to beat every style. Like, you've got point guards, right? Or you've got your small backcourt. Well, the Cavs small backcourt has been awesome this year against everybody. Last night, the Celtics have the best perimeter defenders in the league. You've got two role guys in at this stage of his career, Holiday and Derek White, who can clamp down defensively. And then they got Tatum, and then they got Jaylen Brown. Oh, and then by the way, when Al Horford switches on to Darius, he's got his number every time, no matter what. Yeah. Like, full head of steam, doesn't matter. Horford is still going to block his shot every time around the basket. And so this is the toughest team for a lot of reasons, that no matter what type of basketball you play. Now, the Cavs do have an advantage, especially without Porzingis in there, that they can go inside and Mobley feasted. Mobley, this happened at the end of the last year's series against Boston. Mobley has that ability, and you just want him to keep being aggressive. You know, 13 attempts last night. Probably want that to be even more against Boston because yeah, they've got no answers for his ball handling, which has gotten better. No answers for his passing. He had a pass on the baseline last night that, you know, was ho-hum because the way the game was kind of going, where Boston, when they wanted to, kind of imposed their will. But, you know, it got down to like a two-point game, but he had a pass on the baseline where his arm just reached around, and I can't remember who he hit. It was just an easy layup, and Boston was like, man, what are we going to do? So maybe that's the difference if you're wondering about an adjustment. I actually like that Darius kept shooting. I did. Now, if this happened again, what they get him on Sunday in a couple weeks?
Sundays from now.
This is the December 1st, Sunday, December 1st, the weekend of Thanksgiving.
So just remember I'm saying this. I like
6 p.m. here.
Yeah, I like that he stayed aggressive yesterday because I think past Darius, past seasons, he might have played hot potato, which I didn't see last night.
Oh, no, there was times last year where he was just passing because he did not want the ball. He was afraid to shoot.
Yeah, I think you could tell confidence has kind of changed because he kept shooting, even though he was having an all-time bad night. With that said, if it's like this again against Boston, I'd like to see the ball move a little bit more and definitely concentrate on Evan Mobley going after them because they really don't have a lot of answers. I mean, Mobley was matched up against Jaylen Brown, got an easy layup. Like, it was, no matter who was going after him, Mobley was creating. He was creating a lot for other guys. I think he can even be more aggressive for himself.
Should we be ripping Evan Mobley, should we be ripping Darius Garland today? 216-474-0092. Am I being too soft on Darius Garland today? And for that matter, are you being too soft, Anthony, on Darius Garland today. I don't. It was a bad day. It was a terrible day. He's a paid professional, and I wish it would have been better, and I'm sure he wishes it would have been better. Now, I before I answer this, like, they play New Orleans tonight, 7:30. Do you, now that they're 15-1, do you change the way? Because they already sat Donovan Mitchell for a game. They said that was planned for a month. They did that on Sunday. Do you change the way that this is now because you're not chasing a streak anymore of 15 games, or do you kind of go back to the way things were?
That's interesting because New Orleans got their doors blown off last night in a cup game. All these games were close except for
New
Orleans.
They're messy.
They are horrendous. Zion is back out of the lineup. They lost 132-91. So if ever there was a back-to-back where you'd still feel good, and I don't think the Cavs are going to... Like, there's not like some number they're trying to reach wins-wise. So I could understand it if after yesterday was a very physical game. I mean, we all remember the play with Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. where, you know, there was some concern. What should it be, a technical? I saw some people saying the Cavs players should have gotten in his face. And I was like,
I didn't think it was egregious.
It was a clunky play by Tatum.
I wanted to believe it was egregious, and it was clunky, but I didn't. I felt the same way you did.
Yeah, I didn't think it was some crime. I didn't see it as that. I think Cavs fans were in their emotions last night, and understandably so. It's great to have a rival again. I mean, this is going to be a rivalry. We had Shaughnessy on yesterday, and I'm like, is this going to be a budding rivalry? He's like, I hope. He's like, the Celtics really don't have anybody that's on the same plane field as them. So,
well, he's as cynical as it gets.
Maybe the Cavs, like last night, that comeback, because I'm telling you, every other team in the league, almost every other team would have gotten blown out the way that Boston was shooting last night. That should have been a runaway, easy win for Boston.
I felt the same way you did. I was buoyed by their fight that they had throughout the game. At one point, you know, I think in the first quarter, you know, I'm looking at social media, and maybe I shouldn't have been doing it, but I'm looking at social media a little bit. I'm going back to watch some of it. I'm rewinding a little bit. And I'm seeing people start to say some of the same things they did last year because they're playing Boston. But I'm going, man, depending on how you're looking at this, I mean, they're fighting through all this. They continue to go right after Boston. Boston went right after them. I mean, the defense on three-pointers, the just suffocating the Cavaliers last night was incredible. I got to give Boston credit trying to suffocate in the first half. Cleveland fought through it. They made their adjustments as best they could. I was happy with the effort that was given, because if they would have just laid down and died, maybe I would have felt a little bit different about it yesterday, this morning. But I just feel that some of the overreaction, and you know, we made a big deal about winning this basketball game last night. Yeah, we did. But I feel that some of the overreaction is just that, where I don't need to go getting rid of players again, going back to old takes because they lost to the Boston Celtics last night, and they lost by three. And they were within that game, and if a couple go down for you, I mean, there was a critical sequence there, fourth quarter, where you bring it back within three, you miss two open looks, and then you miss the bunny, which I brought up to you in the first half. I mean, that could have made a world of difference with what they were trying to do. Gil in Cleveland, you're first up in the Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Garland. Everyone's talking about his offense. Yeah, the offensive game was pretty bad last night. I thought his defense was worse, and here's why. At the end of the game, especially, well, throughout the game, but end of the game most especially, they were setting ball screens, Boston was, on Garland's guy to make him match up against Brown and Tatum, and they were just exposing him, going right to the basket with him, you know, pushing off and getting pull-up shots off them. And they were exposing him at the end of the game. So two things, Garland... So he's not able to guard big guys like that. So I wonder why Atkinson was allowing them to switch every single screen and not fighting through. Maybe that's something they only do in the playoffs. That's my take. Gil,
thank you very much for the call. Tone?
Yeah, it's almost an impossible situation. Garland is one of the smaller starting guards in the entire league. This is the team that can, they're going to punish you in every which way they can. They hunt mismatches against every team in the league, because they've got, at most points, especially when Porzingis comes back, they got five guys that can shoot it on the floor almost at all times. So it is really hard. Like, you could say fight through screens, but in that moment that you're fighting through a screen, you could see Tatum needs no time to pull up. Jaylen Brown needs no time. He can just pull up. They all are good, pretty good with the dribble. I know that Brown loses the ball from time to time, but he's got a step back that's unguardable when he's on. Like, it's just too hard. You could say fight through screens, but then they're turning the corner and they're blitzing you, and then their downhill attack that gets guys open on the perimeter. Like, it's just really hard.
Should we be more critical of Darius Garland? 216-474-0092. It is time for 2 Second Trivia and your chance to win a 4-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. But you have to win 2 Second Trivia. Also, make sure to try Mr. Hero's new chicken and bacon waffle doodle, made with authentic Belgian waffles flown in from Brussels daily. Breaded chicken, bacon, and so much more. Available in-store and online. Tone, are you ready to proctor?
Oh, we got some good ones today. Lots of great material to work from today's show so far.
To the phones we go. Chris in Bedford, home of the Bearcats. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Let's put the biscuit in the basket.
Lima, take it away.
All right, we know that Stephen Vogt won AL Manager of the Year. Tito won it 3 times. Name the other Indians/Guardians manager to take home the award.
Mike Hartwell.
Good guess. Good guess. Ray in Akron, home of the Firestone Falcons. Ray, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Lima, take it away.
Morning, boys.
Lima, take it away.
How many Big Ten teams are currently in the 12-team playoff?
I know Dean Pease.
But what else does he do?
Yes.
Gino in Northfield, home of the Nordonia Knights. Gino, good morning.
Yo, let's do it.
Lima, take it away.
Who broke the 4-game turnover drought for the Browns defense on Sunday?
Denzel Ward.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gino is in the bar.
You asked a guy from Nordonia who
Oh, my God. Didn't even think about it.
That was an easy one there, buddy.
Well, we always start kind of easy. They get progressively tougher.
It's like asking somebody from Bath who their favorite serial killer is.
All right,
is not a 2 second trivia question.
Let's see if the Eastsider can get this one.
Gino, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
To win 2 second trivia for Gino and Northfield Lima. Check it away.
What Northeast Ohio neighborhood had an issue regarding the outdoor Christmas lights that we touched on last week?
Fairview Park.
Ladies and gentlemen,
got it.
Gino knocked it down.
Got it. All right.
I coughed. Gino, congratulations, friend.
One of our earlier winners that we've
had. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. You get to eat the waffle doodles. Or, I mean, whatever they have at Mr. Hero. They got Roman burgers. They got all types of stuff. It's good.
Gino, another question. This is just we're not playing for anything.
This is to actually take one of your combo meals away. Sorry. Whoops. Go ahead.
One of the teams in the playoff yesterday, the 3 seed, University of Miami in Florida. What city are they in?
Ooh, I used to live in Florida. Damn it.
It's a big state.
Way more than 2 seconds.
We were debating whether or not this was a tough question. Or whether it was
not
a fair
Miami.
Question.
I didn't think
Miami. I don't know.
I didn't think it was a fair question, Gino.
We struck it in Delray Beach. I was close to this.
Oh, tell us about Delray. I wanted to get down there for a while.
On all your success.
Oh, it was nice. It was nice. I also lived in Tampa until about a year ago. Came back to Northfield.
Well,
what brought you back up here, Gino?
His
was
roof
it the sports?
Is still on his house. That's
family.
That's nice.
Grandpa broke his hip, all that kind of stuff.
Lyman, you want to ask him any more terrible things? I mean, my goodness.
You're a very good family member.
That's a nice thing, Gino. Gino, congratulations. Share one of these family combo dinners with your granddad, okay?
Yeah.
I will. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
you're welcome, Gino.
Ask him what was left in the trust.
He hung up on Gino.
You hung up on the winner.
Wait, did Gino hang up? I hit hold. I hit hold. He hung up. All right. We'll be able to find his number. I think. I hope.
Find his grandfather.
I hope. Gino's grandpa.
Go to Northfield. Look for all the broken hip grandpas. Then look for.
Gino's granddaddy. If you're out there, please call back. Poor Gino. Yeah, it's Coral Gables, by the way. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a good question.
Okay.
I didn't think it was fair. I like to. He didn't make the mistake
now,
either.
Mitch got it right. Mitch blurted it out quickly. I was impressed.
I'm still pretty good at naming where colleges are.
Yeah, Kenny's one of the best.
Go ahead, try it. You'll stump me. That you guys always do a tough one and stump me and make me look like hell.
Right now. I got one for you. You'll
what is it?
This will be easy for you. Wyoming.
Oh, Laramie.
You brought up Wyoming
last
week.
Yeah, I watched them, but they were on the road. They were in Fort Collins, Colorado, playing
Colorado State.
There you go. In their brand new stadium.
That's cheating for
Owen. Well, it's not brand new, but you know. Yeah, he lived. He was in Big Sky country out there.
I lived in Alaska.
Remember the Air Force.
It's all
not
the same.
Even close.
That's basically the same state.
No, it's not.
2,000 miles away.
Alaska is
we've
vast.
We've done worse in this segment.
Yeah, Alaska is a very large state.
But my guess will be hanging up on the guy that won the trivia.
I didn't hang up on him, for the record. Maybe Gino just wanted to play to win and proved himself that he could win, and he ain't going to eat the Mr. Hero.
Could you really see Russia from up there in Alaska?
Could you?
Every day of my life.
Coming up next, we go around the AFC North. We welcome in Bob Haney, Austin Elmore, and Andrew Filippone.
They're our comrades.